I'm a veterinarian, sure, but I'm way more than that. I am also a tango dancer, a struggling but determined pie maker, and a mom. With IndieVets, I get to choose when and where I work. I create my own schedule and choose shifts at nearby animal hospitals that are right for me. Having that flexibility is exactly what I need to have plenty of time for all those other things that I am, because I'm more than just a vet. Visit IndieVets.com to learn more and apply.
Welcome back to the IndieVets Happy Hour. I am your host, as usual, Dr. Andrew Heller, DVM, and I'm here with my co-host, Marissa Brunetti.
VMD.
Awesome. All right. Well, we are recording this in the morning. So what are we drinking in the morning?
I just put Kahlua in my coffee. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. I'm drinking coffee and it's fall, which means that Nespresso has a pumpkin spice cake coffee. And it's so good. So I'm drinking coffee because I'm not fully awake yet.
My wife bought some like pumpkin spice like ingredients that you can just add
to
stuff. And so she's been making some things, so it's been pretty yummy. I am drinking Italian sparkling mineral water from Kirkland. Costco.
All right, shout out to Costco. All right. Anyway. Well, I'm super excited, Andrew. I'm gonna let you introduce our next series that we are starting today and go right ahead.
Yeah. So as you guys know, if you've been listening to this podcast, we've done a bunch of different series. And if you go back in time, you'll find our summer series where we went through a lot of issues that our pets go through, I guess, in the summer. We went through a vaccine series, which was very interesting. And actually, a lot of people looking back at the stats have been watching that or listening to that one. We just finished an opto series with our very own Dr. Casey Robinson, who was awesome.
Not a specialist.
Not a specialist, people say. And now we want to do a new series, which is focused on different breeds of dogs. So I'm really excited about this. Actually, I've been getting a lot of comments on my TikTok and Instagram about, hey, will you do this breed next? Will you do that breed next? Because I already did announce that today we are going to be doing Golden Retrievers.
Woo, my personal favorite breed if I had to pick an actual breed of dog.
I mean, they are such an amazing breed. They really are. They're like the sweetest dogs.
They are, minus their hair and all of their allergies and all the other stuff we're going to talk about today. But anyway, so Andrew, what each series we're going to highlight a different breed of dog, full bred, and what are some of the things that we're going to include about these breeds?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, there are some common diseases that these breeds that we're going to talk about see. And so we'll go through what's genetic versus maybe epigenetic, not really sure exactly if it's genetic or it's just common in the breed. We'll be going through some pearls about anything to look for on the physical exam, how to prevent some of these things. Some of that is responsible breeding.
Yeah.
And then pearls about the treatment for any of these out of the ordinary diseases.
And I do think it's also important. I know not a lot of us do a lot of reproduction in small animal, but you do come across people who bring in their intact golden retrievers and are asking for questions about what to do to become responsible breeders. So we will be discussing like what you should be recommending to these owners who have questions about breeding Goldens. So let's get started.
Awesome. So I thought it would be nice to just go through a little bit of the history of the breed. Golden Retrievers are not a very old breed. They were bred in Scotland back in the 19th century, I believe the second half of the 19th century, to be hunting dogs, hunting companions, and they're retrievers, right? So I think the person or the people who came up with this breed were looking for a little bit more of a mellow breed than a Labrador. So I think they did get that with the Golden Retriever. They were first registered with the kennel clubs in the early 1900s, and they actually are very close relatives to the flat-coated retriever, the Tweed Water Spaniel, the Red Setter, and of course the Labrador Retriever.
And those flat-coated retrievers are super cool. I remember wanting one when I was like a teenager. They literally look like black golden retrievers with like a much like a thinner face. But we don't see many of them anymore. I don't in practice. So,
yeah. Well, some of their key characteristics are they have this double coat, which I'm sure everybody's aware of. They shed like crazy. And, you know, grooming is actually something that you have to really know how to do with a golden retriever. It's not just like any old breed. You know, you can screw up their coat a little bit. And we'll talk a little bit about how they're prone to certain dermatologic, you know, issues. So I think that's important as well to touch on. They're very intelligent, gentle, and affectionate dogs. And I always tell people, like, this is one of my favorite breeds, but they will break your heart every time. They break my heart just seeing them. You know, when I have to euthanize them at the end of their lives, they're just such sweet dogs. I say they'll break your heart every time, especially when they die of cancer, which we'll talk about.
I know.
They're easy to train. They're loyal. You'll see them used for, you know, seeing eye dogs for the blind.
Yep. What's the average lifespan of a golden?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because I saw that it says 12 to 13 years for average. I don't know if that's average. I feel like that's a little bit on the high end. Then again, I'm probably jaded.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree. I think I would probably say 10 to 12, but I have seen older Goldens. My family, we grew up with Goldens. So my first dog was a Golden Retriever. And then my mom got into Golden Retriever rescue. So the next Goldens, three of them were rescued. Two of them were previous breeding Goldens. And so all of them, minus one, died before 10 of cancer. So yeah, I agree. I'm also a little bit jaded about that. But I agree, you know, we're going to talk about how to breed them responsibly and how to keep them healthy later in life. And I think starting early is really important with these dogs, of course.
Yeah, so let's talk about responsible breeding. I think, you know, when it comes to neoplasia, when it comes to cancer, it's hard to breed that out because, you know, they're well past their breeding age, you know, their reproductive age when they get that. So it's hard to, it's really hard to clear that from the breed.
So yeah, so say you get someone who comes in, they want to breed their Goldens. Maybe it's their first Golden, right? They really have no idea what Goldens, you know, get. So what are you recommending to owners who want to breed their Goldens to get testing?
So the big genetic diseases that we can see early in age have to do with musculoskeletal system. So hip dysplasia, elbow dysplasia are two of the big things. So we can get them checked using radiographs. We send those radiographs off to the Orthopedic Foundation for Animals, the OFA. And if you go to OFFA.org, you can upload and register your Goldens there. You can also do a pen hip, which I'm sure all the vets out there know about. It's just an alternate way of assessing hip dysplasia. And you have to do that at 24 months of age.
Yeah, they have to be fully mature. Yeah, for either of those tests.
In terms of ophthalmology, their eyes,
yep.
You know, they are predisposed to hereditary cataracts that we see in young Goldens between 1 and 3 years old. So getting them a board certified ophthalmology exam once a year, they can get Canine Eye Registration Foundation certified, CERF certified. And you really want to do that every year, especially when breeding them. There's also a DNA test for progressive retinal atrophy that can be done, and just speak to your ophthalmologist about that. In terms of heart screening, really we don't do echoes unless we detect a murmur. But if we do, we want to do an echocardiogram, look for subvalvular aortic stenosis. And if you can clear your dog for all of those things, I'd say go ahead and be a responsible breeder.
Yeah, I agree. I would not breed Goldens without checking these three things: orthopedic, eyes, and heart, if necessary. So awesome. All right. So obviously, you know, we talked about why we're checking for these things. And so what are some more detailed, you know, going into these genetic conditions? Let's start with their heart. What are some genetic conditions that Goldens can get?
So aortic stenosis is one of them. Tricuspid dysplasia tends to affect more of the males. There's this muscular dystrophy called Duchenne's X-linked muscular dystrophy, and it can affect the heart as well. So they get cardiomyopathy from it. I've even seen it called Golden Retriever muscular dystrophy. And of course, you know, we'll talk a lot more about hemangiosarcoma when we get to the neoplasia, but you know, one of the heart conditions they can get is pericardial effusion secondary to that hemangiosarcoma. That's usually how we find that.
Yes, unfortunately, that's the worst. So I have started, and I think I mentioned this in multiple pods, is, you know, when I see Golden puppies and yearly at their exams, I start warning. I know it sounds sad, but like, these are healthy dogs, but you want to warn these owners that some of these things can sneak up pretty quickly, and really focusing on them as they get older, because I know we'll talk about hemangiosarcoma in the spleen and also in the heart, and these things just, they can surprise a family very quickly with these horrible things that they do. So I have started just repeatedly reminding owners about the things that Goldens get commonly. So
yeah, And unfortunately, they have a long list of issues here. So let's get to the musculoskeletal. We've already talked a little bit about hip and elbow dysplasia. They're the 11th worst breed for hip dysplasia. So they're not the top of the list.
Yeah, I was like, that's really lower than I thought.
Yeah, I don't know who else is on the list. I'm sure I can guess. But 11th isn't too bad, considering how popular this breed is. But it can affect as much as 25% of the breed. Oh. So certainly something we want to weed out with, you know, responsible breeding. Elbow dysplasia, we talked about. Osteochondrosis of the shoulder. This is something that you can see as early as 4 months of age. And it's going to affect males more than females.
And I will say, you know, if you're a pet owner out there listening, I know hip dysplasia is something that is thrown around a lot in the circle. And I would say this is not something that your vet can diagnose just by putting their hands on your dog, of course. And so just understand that this is something that will involve radiographs. It may involve sedation. These are things that, you know, are not obvious just by touch. Even if your dog is limping, it may not be obvious just by touch. So it's also a diagnosis made radiographically. And so, you know, I hear people say, like, my dog has hip dysplasia, right? Just because maybe it limps sometimes. And that's not accurate. So,
yeah. I mean, you should just know hip dysplasia causes osteoarthritis. And that's what you see. You don't see hip dysplasia.
Correct.
You know, just with the visual eye. So, I agree with that. Another musculoskeletal issue is myasthenia gravis. And so I'm sure we've all seen golden retrievers with mega esophagus, and that can be secondary to myasthenia gravis. Do you remember how to test for myasthenia gravis?
The Tensilon test, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Edrafonium. I remember edrafonium was like one of the first drugs we learned about in a pharmacology class because we were going through all the, because we were going through all the different types of meds, and I remember that one. So it was a good one. Edrafonium. I remember Dr. Chakri telling us all about it.
Shout out Dr. Chakri. Man, you've mentioned Dr. Chakri so many times in this pod. We should get him on this pod is all I have to say.
Yeah, he's famous.
We didn't talk about something that happens commonly in Goldens, which is another musculoskeletal disease, but they can get cranial cruciate ligament rupture.
Sure.
And a lot of that, right, can be related to their weight, right? If Goldens are not kept trim, right, and they're running around like crazy, they can tear their cruciate ligaments, and so they may need knee surgery. So just another reason to keep your golden retriever thin.
Right, and I wonder if their predisposition to hip dysplasia also affects their gait, which puts unnecessary strain on different ligaments that shouldn't have those strains. So for sure, I think it's all related.
Absolutely.
Let's talk again about optho real quick. There's a long list of things that Goldens can get. Entropion, ectropion, dystichia, lacrimal punctal aplasia. I mean, the list really goes on and on. I'm not going to go through all of them, even primary glaucoma, mainly in the UK.
Yeah, and I will speak to three things that I think we see most commonly as general practitioners, but uveal cysts, right? They look like those little, like, floating little things in their irises, right? You may see them ventrally in the iris. And then golden retriever uveitis is a big deal, right? So that red eye and that golden retriever. And I know Dr. Robinson mentioned that in our previous optho series. So that is definitely something to keep in mind, and cataracts. So those are probably the three things I've seen the most commonly in Goldens. And absolutely utilize your local ophthalmologists if you are having concerns with a Golden's eyes.
And that retinal atrophy as well, we should just put on there again, second time mentioning that. All right, so let's talk about some of the common conditions we see in the clinics. Marissa, why don't you start?
Yes, so, I mean, this one goes without saying. You guys are all like, oh, derm, right? And so derm conditions are so common in golden retrievers, and I think probably the thing we see most commonly, maybe earliest, is otitis. So ear infections, right? And knowing that, you know, and starting early, telling your clients when you do diagnose otitis in a golden that this is likely going to happen again, and kind of setting them up for that possibility that this could be a chronic disease, this could be related to allergies. And so along with otitis, we obviously see, you know, they can get pyotraumatic folliculitis, hot spots, things that look moist and they pop up really quickly on their skin, pododermatitis, they're licking their feet a ton, atopy, right? They have environmental allergies, food allergies, and acrylic dermatitis. Oh my, I've seen all of this stuff.
Back to otitis. I just want to mention something about otitis. I've seen so many Goldens come in after they've been in the creek or after they've been, you know, at the ocean, at the beach, and they come in with otitis. And I feel like, you know, pet owners out there, clean their ears after those experiences, like dry them thoroughly because they've got this thick fur, you know, and it just creates even more of a humid environment in those ear canals.
Yeah. And they may be predisposed, obviously, because they have allergies, but this additional, you know, moisture environment absolutely makes it worse. So know that it may not just be because of the moisture environment, right? There may be something underlying as well.
Sure.
And I thought, I mean, going with their thick coat, I thought this was cool that you put this on the list too, though, is like grass on migration. Like, you can't, like, it's hard to find stuff in golden retriever's fur. And if these awns, right? Like we don't see it a lot here in the Northeast, but they can migrate under the skin and cause foreign bodies. They can get into their chest. They can get into their nasal cavity. These are things that we want to warn clients about, like checking their dog, right? Keeping them brushed and checking them. And I would say the same thing about ticks. It's hard to find ticks on your golden. And so using a good tick preventative, especially when you're out and about with them, is really important.
Another one I found interesting, which is a puppy thing, is juvenile cellulitis.
Oh, yeah.
So something you may see, and I believe the few times I have seen this, it's been in golden retrievers. So it's certainly not something that's totally uncommon, you know?
And I think, so I'm going to do a shout out to my mom. I'll make her listen to this pod especially, but we had a Dudley Lab. Speaking of the nasal depigmentation, right? So you may see, or Dudley Lab or Dudley Golden, right? Like most Goldens and Labs have dark noses, right? But there are some that can have completely depigmented noses and they look kind of pink. And those are like called the Dudley nose. And so I was always like, oh, I've never seen a lab or a golden like that. So shout out to my mom and dad's dog, Otis, who had a Dudley nose. Yeah. Really quickly for derm conditions, right? Like just a reminder to the vets out there, like you're going to use all the same diagnostics that you use normally, right? You want to do ear swab cytologies. You want to do skin impression smears. You may need to get to skin biopsies and food trials. So these are things that I like to prep my golden owners for well in advance and start with some handouts. It can never hurt to send out a handout about possible allergies just to kind of set them up that this may be a long-term recurring problem.
For sure.
All right. Well, other than derm, what's another big problem for Goldens, Andrew, that can unfortunately lead to their demise?
All right. Well, this we've touched on so many times, but cancer, neoplasia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is something that, you know, I always associate with golden retrievers. It's funny, like my wife even knows this about golden retrievers, like all our friends who have them. You know, they'll have like a 9-10-year-old golden and they'll call her and say, hey, can Andrew call me back about this? I have a question. Yeah. And she's like, it's cancer. She's just like, it's cancer.
Oh, Jesse, I'm sad that you're so jaded already. No,
but I mean, they get cancer. You know, the main cancers we see in goldens are hemangiosarcoma, lymphoma, nasal cavity tumors. Mm. You know, pretty much any of the cancers, honestly, but fibromas, mast cell tumors, nasal cavity tumors we mentioned, brain tumors as well, oral tumors.
Yes, melanomas. My one golden retriever growing up had an oral, like a pigmented oral melanoma. And those are bad.
Yeah.
And we forgot bone cancer. That's a huge one. Osteosarcoma is big in these dogs.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll get into some ways that we can screen for these cancers later. So other than the big two, right, derm and neoplasia, what are some other things that golden retrievers get commonly?
Hypothyroidism is something we see. Insulinomas are more common in this breed than others. I wouldn't say it's super common, but certainly more common. We already talked a little bit about myasthenia gravis, secondary megaesophagus. I know when I think of the Bailey chair, I think the Bailey chair was made by someone with a golden retriever, right?
Wasn't Bailey named Bailey, maybe.
I think he was a
golden
retriever.
Or German Shepherd. I can't remember.
Epilepsy is another one. Laryngeal paralysis.
Oh, that's a big one.
I know it affects labs much more, but again, they're closely related. So certainly something they're more predisposed to. Ectopic ureters, renal dysplasia, and portosystemic shunts.
Yeah.
I know I kind of jumped around a little bit, the different systems there, but I think these are sort of lesser predispositions, but certainly things to mention.
All right. So last but not least, you know, keeping your golden healthy, what are some ways to prevent some of these common conditions that they get, as well as, you know, things that we can do to give them a longer life?
So you touched on exercise. Why don't we start there?
Yeah.
Goldens were bred to be hunting dogs, you know, dogs that are out in the field. So I think regular moderate exercise is something that, you know, we should be doing with all of our dogs, but especially for Goldens. And, you know, once they are fixed, once they're spayed or neutered, their metabolism does drop a little bit and they love to eat. We know that. They lose that satiety once they have been fixed. And so they really do have a propensity to gain weight. So weight management is a big thing. And because we all know obesity leads to all of these other issues that we touched on, dermatologic issues and musculoskeletal especially, exercise is super important. I know so many people with Goldens. I hope they're not listening to this because I'm going to call them out. But like they're like kind of couch potatoes.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, and they can't.
Yeah, enough. They will be if you don't encourage them to quote work out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What about grooming?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So this is so important. We touched on it earlier, you know, getting your golden used to cleaning its ears regularly, even if they don't have an issue, right? Making sure that they're dried out and there's less debris there. Make sure that like the ear canal around the opening is not too hairy and capturing all of that debris and moisture. Brushing often, and that's another thing to get your dog used to when they're young, right? Using a pin brush because they do have that double coat and they shed heavily twice a year, and aka all year.
And brushing and, their teeth too.
Yes. Oh, yes. Something else to get your puppy golden used to, brushing their teeth. Obviously, making sure they're not chewing on anything too hard, because they will chew a lot and they can fracture those big chewing teeth that they have in the back of their mouth.
Yeah.
As we mentioned earlier as well, it's hard to find fleas and ticks and other gross things in their coat. So they should be on a flea and tick preventative. And I have seen people shave their Goldens, but obviously, you know, it's not that common. Most of the time they're just getting their coat kind of trimmed down to keep the leaves from coming in your house on the dog.
But if you want to preserve their feathery, beautiful coat, I would say don't clip them. Don't shave them.
Yeah. Yeah. Diet, obviously, we like non-grain free diets, right? So we have grain diets, of course, especially because Goldens can be predisposed to heart disease. So we want to make sure, unless your dog is allergic to grain, which is rare, we want your Golden Retrievers on an AFCO approved diet that has grain in it. There are certain Golden Retriever formulas, like Rural Canin has. You don't necessarily have to use that one. Any well-balanced diet by a reputable company that does AFCO trials is appropriate. I do like some of the mobility diets. I do talk a lot about getting Goldens on joint supplements and fish oil supplements when they are young, before they start getting osteoarthritis. And a lot of these joint diets that are prescription diets through your vet obviously have high levels of omega-3 fatty acids in them to help with joint inflammation. So just make sure, you know, if you're a pet owner, you're asking your vet about diets for your Golden. And if you are a vet, thinking about early intervention for these mobility issues before they happen.
So. I think the Royal Canin Golden Retriever formula actually does have some of that joint and mobility components to it. I think that's one of the things that they put in that formula. So nice. We all know Goldens will eat anything. So yeah, it's true. Not like they're picky eaters, like the Chihuahua formula, right? Like they
that's
just,
true.
They're just picky eaters and they need something that like is enticing to that breed. But
yeah,
true. Yeah, pretty much any diet that's AFCO approved, like you said.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we're going to touch on a controversial topic. We won't be, we're not going to try to be controversial, surprisingly, you and me, but let's discuss spaying and neutering. Obviously, I do come from a shelter background, so I may, I've had to change my opinions over the years about, what is the best time to spay and neuter. And the interesting part is, like, none of us agree still, right?
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think there are pros and cons to everything. So there's no hard and fast rule.
Yeah.
Data might show one thing, but it still might not be the right decision for you.
Right.
For your pet.
I think you're absolutely right. Pros and cons of each. I think it's important as a pet owner to speak with your vet early about this. You will hear one thing from your breeder, I am sure. And your vet will also have some research-backed recommendations as well. And so There's still research that shows spaying before your first heat cycle will prevent mammary cancer. But also there's some talk now about letting them go through a heat cycle and full skeletal maturity before spaying them will help protect against some joint disease. Now, that being said, obviously, you know, some of these studies are retrospective, and that means they are not the strongest studies.
Yeah, they can't control for every variable.
Yeah.
You know,
you can't control for every variable. The cool part is they're doing a lifetime golden retriever study right now. So I'm really interested to see these dogs that have been followed since they were puppies until their death, if they find anything significant in these studies. But for male golden retrievers, I am, you know, starting to change. Like I say, like, it doesn't matter how old that dog is, as long as it's not inappropriately breeding something and it isn't having side effects from not being neutered. So I am usually recommending at least, you know, full skeletal maturity before neutering golden retrievers. Now, you know, spaying is a little bit more of a controversial thing.
Yeah.
And obviously some people don't want their dogs to ever go through a heat cycle. So they're still going to do it as like a late puppy. But some don't mind. And so once again, as long as they're not being bred by anything and you're being a responsible owner, I think it's really important to speak with your vet about options that may be right for your family.
Yeah, no, that's good. I don't have anything to add to that. I agree with everything. Okay. So, cool. No controversy on my end.
Wow, that's surprising.
I think just being open with your client and saying, look, there is some controversy here, whether or not to do it. There's no hard and fast data that proves one thing or the other yet, but hopefully there will be soon.
Yeah. And just like anything, we're humans and each vet has their own opinion or each practice has their own opinion, depending on, you know, whether they're involved in breeding or whether they're involved in shelter work or, you know, so this is controversy everywhere.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So let's talk about yearly testing. We're seeing these Goldens come in every year for their annual visit, as they should. We got a bird just like slammed into my window. And sorry, back to the Goldens. They're coming in every year, as they should, for their annual exam. What are some things that we want to make sure we do?
So obviously you're doing a full nose to tail exam. You're checking those teeth for any fractures from chewing. You're checking their eyes for any cysts or redness that, you know, sometimes owners don't notice if their eyes are a little bit painful and they could be having uveitis. You do want to look down their ear canals for any like chronic stenosis. That's really important because they can get thyroid tumors. Make sure you're running your hand down their neck. I'm always like checking for masses. I'll never forget as a young vet, I found like a mass that I thought was a lipoma in a Golden. And I just like, the owner was a physician. So I was like, let's just go get it ultrasounded. It was a thyroid carcinoma. So I was like, okay.
Wow.
So I never not palpating the neck in these Golden Retrievers or any other dog for that matter. Range of motion in the joints, right? Checking their neck range of motion, their back range of motion, asking the owner questions about their mobility, right? Like, are they moving around less? Are they having trouble on the stairs? How are they getting up and down on the stairs, right? Yeah. Making sure you do a body condition score every time and a muscle condition score every time to discuss weight management and other, you know, other supplementation that you may want to use to support that dog. I always recommend full blood work or at least a minimum database, right? CBC chem, tick testing, UA, fecal testing, of course, to check for parasites, I think is really important. And if you do have issues, you know, if they do possibly have issues with their joints, like, don't shy away from like mild sedation and x-raying those joints. Sometimes owners, it's really good to show them that they have this osteoarthritis and this is real, right? They should get that weight off. They should use these supplements, things that can help this dog. Like, I see a lot of these dogs just, they're healthy, but they can't walk really well later in life. And then they end up being on meds, right?
Yeah.
Which is also not a bad thing. I tell owners, like, I take Advil when my back hurts or my joints hurt. And so, you know, we also shouldn't ignore chronic pain in these guys. So have that honest conversation. And vets, like, if their blood work is okay, and, you know, we don't want them to be in pain. If they're older and they need an NSAID, give them an NSAID as long as they qualify.
Yeah.
And then I'll let you talk about the new cool test. We've already touched on it once in the pod, but what is something now that I absolutely would do for my Golden, you know, probably starting at, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old?
Well, amazingly, we talked about this on, I think it was podcast 28, the new Q test, which is it's actually an ELISA cancer screening test, and it's just done through the blood. It's done at Texas A&M, and we typically want to do this on animals, on dogs over the age of 7 years old. And what it does is it measures the circulating nucleosomes. And basically, nucleosomes is just genetic material that has come from broken up cells. So basically, what it detects is mainly lymphoma and hemangiosarcomas, which are the two major neoplasias that affect golden retrievers. Really, really specific test. So it works really well. I don't know. Have you used it yet?
I haven't used it yet, actually. But I do think it, obviously you should go back and listen to the pod where we talk about this in much more detail. But this is like a risk screening test, right? So there are steps to take if you get like a high risk answer back from the test. And so there are definitely things to move forward with when you get those results. But I've never had this in my 12 years of practice until recently. So this is another great thing to recommend to golden owners.
I go to a lot of the trade shows and I've seen other companies that are starting to offer cancer screening tests as well. So there will be even more and more of these products out there. So I think it's really exciting. We're sort of right on the edge of these, cancer screening tests. I think this can be a game changer for humans too, eventually.
Yeah. I mean, owners are looking for it, right? Like they are used to getting those types of screening tests for themselves. And so talk to your pet owners about this. Even start setting them up for it early. I talked to a golden owner. The golden was 4. And I was like, hey, did you hear about this new test? And she was ecstatic. So I was like, I'll put it in the record. Like, let's put a reminder in for 3 years from now. Like, it can't hurt to put a reminder in the record for that.
Yeah.
To continue to talk about it. So.
Yeah. And I'd say after 7 years old, you should be doing this every year on your goldens for sure. I would.
I would. Totally. I'm going to do it on my mutt.
Really?
Yeah, of course I am.
Why not?
I'm going to scan her abdomen every 6 months.
All right. One breed down. What are we going to talk about next week, Marissa?
Ooh, a breed that everyone loves, but that has...
Another beloved breed.
I love another beloved sweet breed that also has eye and skin and heart disease, the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode on the Indie Vets Happy Hour. Thank you all so much for being here with us and listening. Tell your friends, vets, techs, general public. And if you like us, leave us a 5-star review and make sure to subscribe so you can be alerted whenever we have a new episode.
Also, Andrew is a TikTok superstar and also on Instagram, becoming a social media influencer. So Andrew, please remind everyone of your handles to follow and like.
All right, on TikTok, it's andrew.heller.dvm, and on Instagram, it's dr.andrew.heller. So, Andrew Heller should suffice.
All right, search for Andrew Heller. Like all of his videos. He's doing tips of the day, even shorter than these podcasts.
Even shorter. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, you can email us at clinical@indievets.com. You can also just DM me directly through one of my social media sites.
Awesome. Thanks, Andrew. Cheers.
Cheers.